Yeah, I want to be praying a prayer now, but I think I just need to share a little bit before we pray, because hopefully you will also participate in the prayer. Last Sunday we began to look at the reality of the fatherhood of God and the healing that He's calling us to receive by the Holy Spirit, so that we can really know Him as our Heavenly Father. And so as we listen to Jesus saying Father, and we listen to Him, and we also just verbalize Father, you'll find the Holy Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God, Abba Father. And we begin to find a deeper depth of relationship with the Father that we have not yet experienced. And so the same depth of relationship that the Father and the Son Jesus Christ have, we can have that same, because we have the same spirit of sonship, the spirit of Jesus. And so by that spirit of Jesus, we can say Abba Father. So that is why we're in this place now where we are really beginning to be invited to receive the fatherhood of God, the revelation of God as Father to us as people. And one of the reasons, as we've been sharing that, is so that we are able to not only live in the reality of knowing what it is to be loved by the Father, but also now we are able to really enjoy living, because now we are able to reveal that love of the Father to our community, so our community can experience the fatherhood of God through the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot of healing now that is taking place. One of the keys in receiving the healing, the word Father is the originator of life and being committed to that. So we know that our Heavenly Father, He is the originator of life, and He's committed to us as His children. But just as we have earthly fathers and we as children, we can say no to our Father's full involvement in our lives and live on the outside of an amazing father-child relationship. So we can say to our Heavenly Father, or first to our natural fathers, to our natural parents, we can say, no, 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 I'm going to be a rebellious child, and I'm not going to live in the relationship that is good for us as a family. I'd rather go my own way. Likewise with our Heavenly Father, we can say, Father, yes, you're the Father, but I'm not going to allow you to have full involvement in my life, because I'm going to do it my way. You see, and so we can miss out from the incredible involvement with our Heavenly Father. We all miss out on the joy and the participation in the Father's dreams, and His involvement in helping and mentoring us, and His involvement in teaching us how to do things as He guides and He helps us and disciplines us, etc. We'll miss out on all of that if we do not allow our Heavenly Father to have full rights to be truly a Father to us as His children. And that can be scary, because it's like, okay, I'm in control of my life, and I know what's best for me, to actually risk and say, Father, I give you permission to really father me. And that's the healing. So in that battle of resisting and saying no, 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 in that battle, you know that's the areas where you need the healing. And God wants to bring that healing. So we come to the place where we can actually say, Father, have full access, full involvement in my life. Yes. and you can live in that full involvement. And that's why when we read in the prayer of Jesus that we're going to be looking at, Jesus speaks so clearly over there that if you love my Father, you will obey my teaching. If you love me, you will obey my teaching. And he carries on speaking about remaining in my love. If you obey my teaching, you will remain in my love. And so, in remaining in the depth of our Heavenly Father's involvement in our lives, that will require you and I to obey the Holy Spirit's leading, so that we keep on obeying our Father and therefore remaining in His full involvement in our lives. The moment we disobey, we're just like the earthly children where we say, parents, I don't want any of your involvement, I can do it myself. The moment we're disobeying the Holy Spirit's leading, we're not allowing our Heavenly Father's full involvement in our lives. So I want to pray a prayer as we go on, because God wants to do some ministry this morning. I want to pray a prayer, and if you are at that place where you can say, Father, here, have full involvement in my life. I'm your child. Come and have full involvement in my life. I receive your full fatherhood, your full involvement in my life. You can pray that prayer. If not, don't just say the words, but rather wrestle with God here. Rather than say, but God, I cannot say that. Why can I not say that? What's the reason why I cannot say, Father, have full involvement in my life? There's a reason. Teach me, show me the reason, because I know that I cannot say that yet. I'm honest with God. This is where you wrestle with God until you get the breakthrough. And then, because the Holy Spirit, He loves us, and He will share with us the reason why we cannot yield, the reason why we cannot allow the Father. There's many, many reasons. But allow that, if you're battling to say, Father, have full involvement in my life, Holy Spirit, I need you to share with me, Jesus, what's the area, what you want to heal of here, because by knowing you, I know the Father, what's the area? And so open yourself up to go deep and allow the Holy Spirit to share with you. Oops, and that can be a bit uncomfortable because of all the history, our past and things like that. But it's vital to get the healing. And that's why last Sunday, one of the prophetic words was to come and bring yourself to the place where you can now allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, testifying to your spirit, Abba Father, and just grow into the love of the Father, knowing what it is to be loved by Him. Okay, so I'm going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to look at some more scriptures that God has shared, because He wants to deal with a certain area this morning that often prevents us from experiencing the full involvement of our Heavenly Father. And it's not what you think. Father, this morning, as you've been sharing over this time period about your incredible involvement in our lives, and sometimes we resist that, and sometimes we say no, but this morning I say yes, Father. I open up my heart. I give you full right to father me and to have full involvement in my life as you father me as your child. And I thank you for that. For those that cannot, you may want to just say, Father, I hear what Bram is saying. I hear what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about over a period of time, but I'm not at that place where I can fully surrender to you, Father, to have full involvement in my life. I don't understand, and maybe I've got some idea, but I ask, please help me. to get to the place where I can say yes to you, Father. Come and have full involvement. And now, me being the pastor of this family over here, I come, Father, and I thank you for what you've been sharing, your dream with us for a while now. And I come and say, Father, I invite you and I say, yes, you have the right to have full involvement here in the life of this ministry. Full involvement in this town of 1947 to come and minister and to be the Father. So we thank you that we've come to the place, unless you build the house, we build in vain. Unless we try and build our lives by ourselves without you, we build our lives in vain. We are now at the place where we can just completely surrender and say, Father, here, come and build. Have full access, full involvement. And we receive that, I receive this. I want to thank you through your Holy Spirit, the incredible breakthroughs that we will now begin to experience because of what your Son Jesus Christ has done in bringing us and reconciling us to you, so that we can know you as our Heavenly Father. So this we ask this morning, and also we receive through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So are you ready to go on a scary journey with Jesus? He loves to show you our Father together, and that relationship that Jesus has with the Father, that's going to become very, very real in our lives. In John chapter 17, as we've been going through this prayer of Jesus, as he prayed this for those disciples, and he also prayed this for us who would believe the message that the disciples shared, the incredible gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's us as well, and it's for the future generations to come. And again, just the first five verses, and we will eventually get out of these first five because there's so much more that we want to do. But today I want to deal with something that very often is a hindrance in our lives in enabling us to dream with God, to be able to be involved with God's dream, our destiny, that which God has written about our lives, and to be able to get a breakthrough this morning to be set free. So after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I think it's easy for us to say, but Jesus, that's you. But what if I say, because we are the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's been glorified, what if I say, can you say to the Father this morning, Father, glorify me? What religious spirit will shout in your ear and say, that's blasphemy? We want to deal this morning with the spirit of false humility. Our Father wants to set us free, because false humility is something that prevents us from moving into the destiny that God has for you and I. Okay, so Jesus is coming to the Father, and I'll explain my definition of false humility. There's a lot of definitions, but this particular that we're wanting to focus on this morning. Jesus now is about to go to the Father, and He's asking the Father to glorify Him. In other words, He's asking the Father, Father, reveal me. And as I really am, I've been hidden in, I've been clothed in this garment of humanity. And now the time comes where who I really am, before I came into this form of a human being, that I ask it, you'll begin to reveal, so that the world, the nations, everybody can really know who I really am. Because that's going to give them hope. That's going to give them victory. They're going to know who I am. And because they know who I am, they're able to bring you glory, Father. Because they know who I am. I'm not just a man. I'm the Son of God. And so Jesus is praying because He wants the Father to be glorified. And so in Philippians chapter 2, when Paul writes about this, he speaks and he says over here concerning the attitude, each of us, he speaks about, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And he speaks about your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, see, this is now the Father answering that prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here we see an amazing answer to the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father, that Father, the time has come, glorify me so that I may bring you glory. I've glorified you here, Father, by completing the work, because the work of Jesus was the Father in Jesus doing His work through His Son Jesus, and the works of Jesus was the revelation making the Father real and known, putting weight to God in a tangible way in touching people's lives, so they could experience the weight of God who was unseen. They could experience the touch. They could experience the breakthroughs in their lives. Can we say, as we looked at two Sundays back, that because of the resurrection of Jesus, and because of the Father glorifying His Son Jesus, that glorification has a huge impact and a relevant application for you and I as the children of God, so that we too will now be able to walk in the name of Jesus, and the works of the Father can be made known so that the Father is glorified through our lives, through us as His children. So the glorification of Jesus has a direct application for you and I as the family of God, the children of God, because we live in the reality of Christ's glorification as His body, as His hands, as His feet, as His mouthpiece. Okay, so that is why we pray, our Father, hallowed be Your name. That's our desire. Our Father, we're wanting You to be so glorified in everything we say and everything we do. So that is why we have it in our own heart, born-again believers, in our very depth within us as children of God, our desire is for our Father to be glorified. Okay, so it has a direct application for you and I. In 1 Peter chapter 5, again, Peter is speaking about the reality of humility. And Jesus is our example, and I explain Nana. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that it may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. So you see the commitment of our Heavenly Father. He cares for us. But humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. What I mean by false humility, well, let's go first of all. Biblical humility cannot be separated from what God's love is all about. Because if we're speaking about humility, we are speaking about an absence of arrogance, an absence of pride, an absence of belittling people. And we see the biblical revelation of love. Love is not self-seeking. You see, love wants the best for others. Love is not arrogant. Love covers a multiple of sins, etc. So when we're speaking about this humility of God, we cannot separate it from the revelation of what love is all about. You cannot have humility, human definition, and then God's love. No, no, no. Because humility and love all go together. You cannot separate that. So when we're speaking about a false humility, obviously, first of all, there is the reality of self in it. So like we sang that first song there, I was a wretched person, etc. This is who I was. And if we stop there, we get stuck into false humility. Because true humility goes beyond and sees who we are in Christ Jesus. And religion will prevent a person from seeing that. The spirit, this demonic spirit of false humility, prevents people from beginning to realize that that's who I am, or who I was. But as Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, wretched man am I, but praise be to God. You see, it goes through into now. If I'm stuck into this woe is me, that's false humility, and I will start to live my life based on that understanding of what humility is all about. So we would go around. You want some water there, Rhea? Oh, you got there. So we go around and we live in this pitiful state of woe is me, woe is me. You know, oh, woe is me, woe is me. You know, and we're belittling ourselves. True humility cannot be separated from love. So true humility, God's true humility is now beginning to love yourself with the love of God. False humility will not forgive ourselves because that's pride. True humility forgives ourselves because God has forgiven. False humility will prevent us from entering into our destinies, in the fullness of our destinies. Because false humility is, I'm not good enough. True humility is, in Christ I can do all things who strengthens me. We move beyond ourselves and we move into the reality of being united with our Jesus, who He is. He's been glorified. And we're living from the reality of Christ who's been glorified. So we live in that reality of He's being glorified so that we can know who He is. So I can preach a message and bring tremendous condemnation and make you feel miserable as worms. Woe is me. And you will all say, wow, God, I need it. Woe is me. And I can keep you all stuck in false humility and that, and never moving into true humility. But Jesus, this is what you've done for me. And now my dependence is totally on Jesus. I'm fully dependent on Jesus. And Jesus lived this. He humbled Himself. And we see how Jesus was totally dependent on the Father doing His work through Him. Humility. Showing us His total dependence on the Father. Jesus showed us His total love for the Father. He says, the devil's got no hold over me. But this must happen because the world must know that I love my Father. And I do exactly what my Father has said. True humility. A love for the Father. False humility would have this form of love for the Father, but inside, this self is ruling. I'm not going to allow you. No, I'm just going to do this because if I don't do this, people might think something about me. Self-centered all the time. This humbleness that is so self-centered about me all the time. True humility is, wow, Jesus, this is You and this is who I am in You. And I'm totally dependent on You and I thank You. Thank You so much. We never achieve what God has dreamed for us to achieve if we're stuck in false humility, because we will be like Moses. So let's look at the journey of Moses. He began in false humility and he moved to the most incredible. And that's why God would say Moses was the most humble man. Can you say, no, you know what religion will say? If I ever say to you, I'm humble. I'm the most humble man in Sasselburg. Imagine all the religious people. They would crucify me. But when you can say, I'm the most humble one because I'm totally reliant on Jesus Christ. And I'm totally dependent. And He has full right to father me. And I'm totally yielded to obey Him, to love Him, to follow His ways. And to grow up into what it is to be a son or a daughter of God. Not a religious son or religious daughter. But a true son. The same relationship that the son Jesus has with His Father. The same oneness, that same love, that same depth, that same interaction. You and I, that's what it is to be a child of God. So Moses here in chapter 4, Moses has an encounter at the burning bush. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He's giving such a revelation of who He is. And then Moses then, it's like, I think we can all recognize this. He's asking for signs. What if they do not believe me, etc., nor listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to me? And so Moses is now busy going through all these kind of self-centered questions. It's about me at this moment. It's all about me. What if they don't listen to me? What about this? What about that? And so he's focusing on himself, and he's got a great call of God to move into the dream of God, to be able to answer the prayers of the people, to be able to fulfill what God spoke to Adam and Eve, to be able to fulfill what God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of these things, Moses is a place where God has chosen Moses to be involved in the dream of God, to bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, to save the world eventually. And so Moses is battling with this. Many times you and I, when God starts to share dreams, we battle with this. Woe is me, I'm not good enough. You're not, but Christ is good enough. I can do all things through Christ. See, true humility, total dependence on what Christ has done. And you start to join by the power of the Holy Spirit to go forwards. And so Moses is battling and God says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and all the time. And then Moses said to the Lord in verse 10, O Lord. I think that word, O Lord, says a lot. Yeah. Oh Lord, I wonder what the Lord said. Oh Moses, when are you going to get this, man? You're speaking to me. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. False humility. I'm not good enough for this. I cannot do this. All I see is myself, my weaknesses. All I see, all these things. If we stop there, we start to entertain a spirit of false humility to keep us captive from moving forwards. So Moses said, Oh Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burnt against Moses. Hey. Then the Lord's anger burnt against Moses. Have you ever felt the hot breath of God? Because we are complaining and we're not good enough for this and that there. And he says, oh, children of God, don't you remember that you died when my son Jesus died? Who you were. Adam is no longer your reality. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. Don't you believe that in Christ you've been raised up to live a new way? Are you stuck in yourself because of unbelief? Have you felt the hot breath of the Holy Spirit in just burning and say, hey, and you realize, whoopsie, Lord, my thinking's a bit stupid over here. It's not in line with you. Please forgive me. Let me start thinking as you see me and what truth says, and not what other people or myself and my past says. False humility will hold on to the past all the time. And that spirit will say, look at your past. You cannot go forward. You cannot fulfill the dream of God because look. And false humility will say, yes, I'm not good enough. Let me stop. Let's send someone else, Lord. I'm not good enough. False humility. It's not of God. That's a demonic activity that's captured us with this understanding of false humility. When we love, you walk in the realm of not having any arrogance, pride. You walk in the realm of wanting the best. Humility. It's wanting to see what God wants to do in those people's lives and touch them. Recognizing our total dependence on the Holy Spirit to work and do the work of the Father through us. Not taking the glory and the honor, but Father, you've done a good job today. What you have done, thank you that today I could bring you glory on earth because I have walked in obedience and love to fulfill what you wanted to do today. Total yielded to the Father. True humility. True humility is knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. True humility. So Moses is experiencing the hot breath of God. I hope you may never experience the hot breath of God because you just say, yes, Father. I know I cannot do it on my own, but praise God, Father, that in your Son I can do all things because it's by your grace, it's by your power. So Moses is going through that battle, and then as he's journeying and God is speaking, and that he gets to that famous portion in Exodus chapter 33, where again God is saying, Moses, let's go forwards a bit now. We've had time of camping. We've had time of you meeting me on the mountain and getting all instructions and seeing my glory and experiencing who I am. And Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not yet let me know whom you will send with me. And remember what God said? I'm going to send Aaron with you to be speaking with you. And now Moses has grown a bit. And he realizes, but Aaron hasn't got the supernatural powers to deal with all of this. God, I need you. Who? He's searching God. Who's going to come with me? Because this man is not enough. Who's going to come with me? So he's searching God. He's asking God. Speaking to God. He's a friend of God. And you have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. True humility now. You see? Now Moses has grown and he realizes this incredible encounter, the burning bush and the call and to being part of God's dream to lead a people out into fulfilling the covenant that God has made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob to move into the promised land. Father, I need you to teach me your ways. I need you to help me. I'm totally dependent on you, Father, to be able to do this great work that you've called me to do. And Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. It's great work that He's called us to do. Teach us your ways, Lord. We depended on Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to take from you, Jesus, what the Father is wanting to do. You, Jesus, receive that and speak it, share it with your Holy Spirit so He can come and share with us what's on the Father's heart, what's on your heart. You and the Father are so one with the dream for mankind. And so Moses then continues, and the Lord then replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from there. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? So Jesus says, ask the Father whatever you ask Him in my name so that I, Jesus, will answer and do that so that my Father is glorified. And He's wanting us to begin to get to the place where we are free from a religious false humility and we've gone through this wrestling with God about I'm not good enough, what about me, I can't speak, I can't think, I can't dance, I can't do this, or whatever it may be. And all the background, all the issues and all the history, those demons shouting in our ears saying, what about that, look what you've done, this is that, look what that, blah, 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 blah. To be able to come and say, but Lord, in you, Jesus, that's been dealt with. And in you I have been raised up into this new life. Now, by your Holy Spirit, I will live a new life to be able to walk with you and to fulfill what you have written about my life, my destiny in your Son Jesus. So that you will be glorified through my life. Anybody that wants to get buried, I want to have on your tombstone, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you have called me to do. What a tombstone statement. And everybody there can say, amen. That's my desire. Nothing else but to have a tombstone or whatever. And people can say, yes, she or he really fulfilled the will of God. because they allowed the Father to have full rights to be a Father in their lives. And they allow us to live as His incredible children, to dream with Him and to fulfill His dream, our destiny with Him in an amazing way. So then God, as we know in chapter 34 of Exodus, where God reveals His glory. And then Moses says, now I've got it, let's go. And now he could go and lead the people. He was no longer focused on himself, because now he had the revelation of his God's glory. So Jesus said, Father, glorify me. Glorify me. So that you and I can go beyond ourselves and have an encounter with the glorious Son of God. And then we can say, yes, we can do it. We can live out the dream because of who you are, Jesus Christ. True humility. True humility. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays an amazing prayer. And he he's praying about this incredible revelation of God's love. And he prays, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Listen to that word, Father. Here Paul is with his Father, our Father, and there's that deep connection. And he's saying, Father, or may we all experience more and more of this incredible oneness with the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. Father, the originator of life, and who is fully committed to this life. I pray that out of your glorious riches, Father, this glorious riches that you, Father, may strengthen us with power through Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And Father, I pray that you will help us to be really get this revelation that he prays now, that all of us, being rooted and established in this love, may have power together with all the family of yours, Father, to grasp how wide, how long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. A religious false humility will prevent this from taking place, because we will be sin-focused all the time. We will be focused on our failures, our inabilities all the time, never moving across to a truth. But yeah, something profound, that we can be full to the fullness of God. Yes, Lord, come and father me. And then he says, now to him, a total dependence on our Heavenly Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. The same word imagine, the same word for dream. According to your power, God, that is at work within us, so that you will be glorified in our lives as the body of Christ and in your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this could be your prayer today. I know this reality. I journey in this reality of false humility. I know the struggles of false humility. I know in the church environment we are taught this religious humility. And so when God calls us to do something, we fight that because we're not good enough. Do you think God makes a mistake and calls us? How can we argue with God, I'm not good enough, when God says, I've called you? Feel the hot breath of God as his anger burns when we want to resist him. So Holy Spirit, let us experience that wrath of God, that heat of God's anger, whenever we start to refuse your ministry in us as you lead us, taking us deeper, deeper into the reality of the Father. Just recently, I shared the other day, some time back, I'm praying and I have an encounter in prayer, and I see myself in this incredible river of life, and I'm leading not five, I'm leading multitudes, a great multitude of people that's following me, deeper and deeper into the glory revelation of God. You see, and God then began to expose false humility. Suddenly, no. And all this, how can I do that? Who am I? False humility. See, if I stopped there, I would be stuck in the demonic activity in my life, controlling me with this false humility that I got into agreement with. But I had to, no. Lord, I think I need healing in this area, because there's something that you're showing me that is causing me to get stuck in this false humility. How can I do this great work of yours? Maybe some of you recognize that in your own life. See, and I had to go beyond myself, but in you, Jesus, we can do it together. Total dependence in you, what you have done. Yes, let's go forwards and we can do it. God has called us to do greater works in John chapter 14. You're going to do greater works than I've been doing, because I'm going to my Father, and my Father's going to glorify me with the glory I had before. So from that foundation of who I am, glorified, dealt with all the sin issue, I've dealt with all your failures, I've dealt with all that stuff, I've set you free from the power of sin, I've set you free from the works of Satan. Now, you're able to live in the reality of being raised with me, so that the Father is glorified, this greater works that He wants to do through our lives. And may the Holy Spirit help us not to get stuck, woe is me, and not move beyond to what you have done, Jesus Christ, and to live in the victory of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is crucial, because we want to start dreaming with God, and this needs to be healed and removed, so that as God shares His dream, we won't reject it and say, no, it's not for me, it's someone else. Send someone else. How many times have you said, send someone else? How many times have you phoned me and says, I can't do it, please, why don't you go do it? Send someone else. No, I'm only playing. No, it's real. See? Send someone else. That's no longer our vocabulary. When you hear God say, thank you, Jesus, you never forsake, we can do all this because you're with me, and now I'm totally reliant on you, Holy Spirit, to do the works. Amen. So as we have communion, may this day be an amazing breakthrough day, where you say to that spirit of false humility, no longer, and we repent from it. Father, forgive me for getting stuck in myself and having this false humility. I ask for forgiveness. Today I choose and I accept, Jesus, that I'm in you, to live a new life, and in you we can do all things, and start to dream with God. Break that spirit, break that hold over all of us. So God does say, now unto him who is able to do measurably more than what we ask or imagine or dream, according to his power, by faith begin to receive and expect a bigger dream than what you have right now. Start dreaming with God, and then accept the fact, yes, Lord, that's who I was, but now I'm in you, we can do it. And your total reliance on him, total dependence on him, as Jesus was, with the Father in me, I'm doing the works of the Father. Total dependence on him. Amen. So as we have communion, allow God to minister and just minister to our lives in a way that is liberating. Father, thank you that you are just helping us as your children to get beyond ourselves, get beyond the stuck phase, getting beyond the excuses and the arguments, and be moving into dreaming with you, Father, for our, not only for our own lives, but for our families, for our communities, for our nation. Father, what a joy to know that as we dream with you, as you speak to us and share with us our destinies, share with us your will for our lives, the good works that you are wanting to do through each and every one of us in an amazing way that displays your fatherhood, that displays your glory. Oh, Father, thank you that this day is a day where we will begin to find tremendous breakthroughs, tremendous victory because of your Son Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're going to have, you've made covenant with us. Father, you've made covenant with us through Jesus Christ. And just as you had made covenant with Abraham concerning the seed, concerning the promised land, even when Abraham was there and he said, but to the king, that this is not my wife, and how that king of that community took in Sarah as his wife. But that night that king had a dream, because you are fully committed to the covenant that you had made with Abraham despite what he has said. And that king knew that, wow, God, this I must not touch. She belongs to Abraham. And because of covenant, and I thank you, Father, because of the covenant meal and who you have made covenant with us through your Son Jesus, you are fully involved in our lives. What a place of rest. What a safe place it is to know, Father, that we have allowed you and given you permission to be fully involved in the covenant that you have made through Jesus. And every promise in your Son is a yes and an amen. You are fully committed and involved as we've allowed ourselves to allow you to be fully involved. So today I want to thank you, Father, for the healing. I want to thank you, Father, as you take your family, oh, not only here, but in this nation, as you take us, Father, allowing you to be fully involved in our lives, to be able to respond to your involvement and to see your dream for our towns, your dream for our nation, to become a reality. Thank you, Jesus. You are building. Thank you, Jesus. You know exactly what you are doing. And I thank you that, Lord, you have given each and every one of us incredible gifts, mandates, and callings. And today is a day where those dreams that have been suffocated by false humility, today, Lord, as we partake in what you have done in your death and resurrection, I declare and I say in the name of Jesus, every dream that God has placed in our lives today, in Jesus' name and the authority of Jesus, I loose those dreams from being contaminated, from being suffocated, from being entrapped and ensnared by all the schemes of the enemy. Right now, be loosed in Jesus' name. And Father, the angels of destiny we receive in helping each and every one of us, your family in this nation, the family in our towns, those that are listening, Father, to be able to now experience that breakthrough, that release. And every demonic spirit, this religious false humility spirit that's been spewing vomit over the body of Christ, over us, in Jesus' name, I loose it and I release the blood of Jesus and the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit to bring about total deliverance. And once again, our mind is no longer in a mist. Our minds is no longer in a fog of self-centeredness. But now we have been set free and we can start dreaming, going beyond our own little selves and into you, Jesus, the glorified Son of God. We want to live to demonstrate to this world who you are, Jesus. We want to make you your name. We want to see your manifestation. And that's why we pray and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord Jesus, come and do your work here. Come and minister, come and do your work. And we thank you. Amen, amen.